we fucking recording or not?
We're recording.
Holy lordy lordy.
Lordy.
This has been the past 25 minutes of my life. Hello, welcome to Teenage Dirtbags. We are the podcast where we will rate and review a teenage movie of different eras. I'm Maddie.
I'm Carly, and Maddie's grumpy today.
Fuck yeah, I am, man. It's Monday. Right now it is Monday. I had a good day at work, but it was like... it was just a long day, and our doggy is being a little bit of a brat today. She's approaching her teenage time, I guess.
Is that true?
I think so.
Is 4-ish months?
Well, no, I think it's more like 10 months, but she's just being such a brat today. So she's really testing our limits, so I'm a bit of a cranky mom right now.
Oh, mama. And, the good news is that Harvey and Levin seem to really like each other.
That's what I was going to say next, is they met officially properly today, and they, all I care about is that they wear each other out. They wear each other out, like, they were running in circles. I mean, poor Lemon is smaller for now, and Harvey was just like chasing her everywhere. But
it's good though, because I never know how to wear Lemon out, because she doesn't really know how to play fetch. So this is good.
Yeah,
this is good news.
This will be good.
So how was your Easter? I haven't seen you.
I know, it's been a little while. This is the first time we've seen each other in a couple days. Easter was super good. We had family over on Friday, and then Saturday we went to my friend's 420 brunch.
420
blaze it. And that was super fun.
Did you get high?
We did.
Oh, how did you get high?
She made cookies, and she's a baker with a sous vide. And she like...
Sorry, you said Ginny?
No.
Sorry.
Kat, my friend Kat.
Oh, do I have a met Kat?
This is the fucking one who when you have now, because every time we talk, you go, have I met Kat?
Is this Kat and Matt?
Yes.
Kat and Matt. I liked Kat. I only met them once, but I liked Kat and Matt. They were really cute. And Kat has a really friendly face.
Oh, she's the best.
As soon as I saw her, I was like, what a doll.
Yeah, she's the absolute best.
Yeah.
They do not listen to this podcast. They will not hear this.
Well, maybe we should tag them just for this episode.
They don't have they literally have no social media.
Pardon me.
I know. So we went to their place, and then my friends came over in the evening, and we used other resources to become inebriated.
Such as?
Well, in the morning we ate weed cookies.
Yeah.
At my friend's house. And then in the evening we smoked various things.
What does that mean? I'm just not very knowledgeable.
Well, I just am realizing, like, my parents aren't, like, they know that we do, but it just is really weird. We've never really talked about it, so I'm just really hesitant. But
it just sounds like you're being so sketchy about it. Like, did you smoke crack? Like,
I do sound a little sketchy. No. Well, we had another cookie because Kat, well, she didn't have to force me, but she told us to take cookies home. So we took some cookies home. So I gave my friend a cookie, and then she had brought weed as well that she had gotten from work. Anyway, it was like this whole thing. So
you got really high.
No, I wouldn't want to say that high. No, it's pretty stupid. How was your Easter?
It was so good. Lemon is in my life now, and I was just so happy. Every morning I'd wake up and I'd look at her sweet little face, and even though she gets up at 6:30, I was still so happy, and I just love spending time with my family, and it was just delight. I got to see my pals. I had people over on 420, but we had tea, and there was nothing in the tea that might provoke some
inebriation.
It was just Earl Grey.
That's okay. That's good.
We're a little more square.
That's fine.
They're all kind of like moms. Yeah. And one of them's pregnant. So, you know, you can't really peer pressure a prego.
Who's pregnant?
Caitlin.
Oh, God. Right.
Anywhom.
Do we have any other prefaces this week?
As always, I just want to encourage everyone to come to Coachella Saturday,
yes,
May 25th. At the Hideout on College Street in Toronto. We've got three bands, one being Joyful, the other being The Riches, and the other one is it's probably going to be confirmed tomorrow, so we'll let you know, but I'm really, really excited about it. And it's $10 cover, and it's going to be a great time. Me and Maddie are going to be there hosting, schmoozing, drinking, and
floozing.
I think that's all I have to preface.
I think so, too. I mean, my preface is, I didn't even preface saying I was going to preface, but I prefaced.
Well, we prefaced, and that's all we can do.
That's true. Let's get into this motherfucking masterpiece.
I'm so excited about this.
Girl!
There's not enough time on the planet to talk about it.
There just isn't. Welcome to our 3-hour podcast. Yeah. Oh, my God. I just looked over at the computer at the sound wave, and when I just said girl, it like exploded. So I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but there's a few of those usually per episode that I have to trim down.
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, shocking. Okay, so let's talk about this movie. Have you seen it before?
Yes, I'm going to do my facts then.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so this was What a Girl Wants, first
what
of all.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever they love. I'm
playing you, whatever they love. Okay, why didn't they use that song in the movie once? What a missed opportunity.
What, was it out?
Yeah, that's what the title's based on.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Can I also say that when I told Michael... When I told Michael that this was the next movie, he was like, is that the one with Mel Gibson? And I fucking died.
That's close, though. What Women Want.
Yeah, but that's not a teen movie.
Mel Gibson teen movie.
With freaking Helen Hunt or whatever her name is. God.
Yeah. I mean, there's a teen in it. But anyway.
There's one teen.
Yeah. Mel Gibson's daughter, who... I remember that trailer, too, because she was always like, this is the dress I'm going to lose my virginity in.
Yo, I love that movie.
No, it's great. It's Nancy Myers. I love Nancy Myers.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Any hoodles?
What a girl wants. Go.
This movie was directed by Denny Gordon. It was written by... What are you laughing at?
This movie was directed by Denny Gordon.
I just didn't feel like singing the rest. Okay, so this is interesting. It says written by William Douglas Home. But William Douglas Home wrote the play and the 1958 screenplay. So that's interesting, apparently. Okay. And so the writers of the actual...
This would be a horrible fucking play.
What? Excuse you.
Can you imagine? This would be horrible.
Why?
This would not translate on stage. There's no way. Excuse me, I study theater. I think I would know.
You know what? I didn't study theater, so I don't have a clue. Okay, oh, and then, but the actual writers of the 2003 version were Jenny Bix and Elizabeth Chandler. And it was starring Amanda Bynes.
Amanda.
Colin Firth.
Colin.
Kelly Preston.
Oh my God, it's Kelly. I was going around saying it's Kelly Ripa.
That is not correct.
Oh my God, I might be still on drugs. Go ahead.
Oliver James and Eileen Atkins.
Eileen Atkins.
Rated PG, it premiered on April 4th, 2003. I was just on the verge of turning 13. Mm. And the log line is, an American teenager learns that her father is a wealthy British politician running for office. Although she was eager to find him, she realizes it could cause a scandal and cost them the election.
That's not a log line. That's a paragraph.
Well, that's usually a log line is one sentence. This was two sentences. Mm. Tell me, Maddie.
Tell me what?
What is your first memory of this movie? Did you see it in theaters? Do you remember anything?
No, I don't. I must have seen it in theaters, though. I have seen this movie. Honestly, this might be one of the movies I've seen the most in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen this movie minimum 100 times.
Like, same.
Like, this movie has... There was a point. So, Mike and I started watching it one day over the weekend. Because, like we said, it was Easter weekend and Carly was away. So, we were watching it. And at one point, we had to pause because we had to go to a thing or something. And I just was like, I again debated and I was like, I honestly don't even need to finish it. Because it's not even like, oh, it's boring. Like, I can sit here and recite the entire thing.
Yeah.
I did finish it. But
good.
I just had that thought where I was like, this, I know every single part of this movie. And there's even things that, oh, and we'll get this later, but I didn't even realize that there's always this song in my head. Yeah. Like, genuinely... almost at all times.
The Oliver James song, one?
And it's just this one line where he goes, helpless child.
See, I get the other part in my head.
Which one?
Everybody wants to be loved. Every once in a while.
Oh my God.
We can really sing the whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't need someone to hold on to.
Like a helpless child. And this is the one. Okay, we don't need to get. That's way ahead. Anyway, what's your experience with it?
So I saw this in theaters twice. And one was with my friend Allie. And one was with my friend Christy. When I sat with my friend Allie, she always, to this day, brings up the fact that at one point during the movie, during the scene in the bathroom where the water's going wild, like that was a big trailer moment. And I apparently, says Allie, I leaned into her and I said, can you go get me some candy? And Allie was like, this is like such a key scene. And I was like, just get me some candy, please.
Why did you do that?
And Allie went and got me candy.
Why did you well, get it yourself?
Allie is like, she was basically like, I just did anything you said. But here's the truth. I think it's because oftentimes I would get a bit of a panic attack feeling when I would go to the movies. Mm. So I think maybe I didn't, I don't know. Maybe
you
I
use
would,
it as an excuse.
Maybe, I don't know why that would help me have it, like, be alone in the theater. I don't know why that would help me. But anyways, and then I went and sat with my friend Christy. And me and Christy loved it just as much as me and Allie. Because me and Christy both had a crush on a guy named Ian. And Oliver James's character's name is Ian. And
correct.
We were like, oh, it's just like us. So anyways, I loved this movie. I was this was the movie that made me completely obsessed with Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
I wanted her hair. Mm-hmm. I wanted all her outfits. I wanted to be just like her.
This movie, honestly, and get ready for this episode because I will talk about London for the majority of it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But the part where they're like walking through Camden Market and like trying on things, I was like, oh, that's amazing. I wish Toronto was like that. And then when I, 20 years later, moved to London, I went to Camden Market. I lived there for 2 years. I went to Camden Market 300,000 times.
Did you really?
I went all the time. That's not true. I went a lot though. And every single time, without fail, that scene would run in my head.
Is it accurate to what it's like?
Now that being said, I don't actually know if this is Camden Market in the movie. It's like made to be like it though.
But is there a market that's like right on the water?
No.
Oh.
There's South Bank, but there's not really a market, maybe on certain days, but not in the same way. Camden Market is there all the time.
Oh.
So it made it, and Camden Market's also a lot more hippie and like
I see
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like bargaining and stuff. If there was a market on South Bank, I can't imagine. Because that was, I think, South Bank or meant to be South Bank.
Okay.
So there is a part of this I could go on forever, but there is a part of Camden Market that's kind of on the water. So it could have been that.
Maybe. I mean, it's probably just a set, but.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
But still, that seems like a fun market.
It's a fantastic. Have you not been to Camden Market?
I spent a month in London. I don't think I went to Camden
Market. Oh my God, it's the best. It's my favorite place.
It sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, if the movie tells us anything, it's clearly amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I love that scene. Both scenes. She goes once with Ian, and then she goes once with her dad.
Yeah.
I liked them both.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, I was just going to briefly mention that the opening sequence with that little butterfly that flaps around during the credits.
Oh, and it's like, dun 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 dun.
Like, it's such shitty animation. They probably spent so much money on that.
Oh my God, that song, if I heard that song on like in a desert, I would go like, what a girl wants. Like I would know.
So true. Da,
da, da, da, da. Oh my God, what a great fucking opening.
Okay, so let's get into this here. So Amanda Bynes, she is a waitress and her mom is a singer at weddings.
A wedding singer. And Mike was like, where's Adam Sandler? Like, it was a great joke. Good one, Michael. He also made a point. So they do a back rewind sort of thing and they show, what am I trying to say?
A flashback?
Thank you.
A back rewind?
I don't work in film and TV. It's fine. They do a flashback and it's Amanda Bynes like blowing out candles as she's younger at her birthday.
Uh-huh.
And Mike's like, those are fucking sparklers. You can't blow them out.
That's a good point.
It's a very good point.
You should watch more movies with Mike because he makes good points.
He does make it. Well, half of my things, the next point I'm going to make later on as well is also a Mike.
We should have Mike on for the next episode.
Well, I said, do you want to be on this one? And he said, he was like, sure, if you want me. But then we didn't finish the movie together, so it just didn't happen.
Well, maybe we'll do the next one with him because people seem to like when he was on.
Anyway.
Okay, so.
So, yes, Amanda Bynes is a waitress.
And
a
she
wedding
gets,
caterer.
Yeah, a waiting, wedding caterer, I guess. I don't know what the word is. Waitress. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she gets really sad every time there's a father-daughter dance.
At a wedding.
Which I just think
that her
funny.
Mother is singing to.
Yeah.
Mike made another good point about this.
Okay.
He was like, I thought father... This never crossed my mind in the 20 years this movie's existed.
Yeah.
He's like, are father-daughter dances not for the father and daughter? Not for every father and daughter at the wedding?
Oh, were they all dancing?
Literally every single father... That's the whole like sad part.
Oh.
Because the bride and her dad dance and then the other dads are holding their young girls dancing and every single person who is a father and a daughter and not one other person in this whole giant Italian wedding.
Wow. I didn't notice
missing.
That.
Oh my God. Mike was, it's hilarious. And every wedding they go to from then on is.
That's kind of cute though.
it's cute, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, that makes no sense.
Because why would that one, I mean, I
mean, most people don't have their dad with them at a wedding.
Right.
Unless it's their own wedding. So that's a little strange.
A very good point.
So basically, it's just old men dancing with young girls.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Ow! Oh, sorry. I just stabbed myself with my own nail. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Sorry.
That was interesting.
Anyway. Oh.
That was...
Is that, you know, when you go right under the nail? Ooh.
No, but okay.
You don't? All right. Mm-mm. Okay, so the biggest point I want to point out right now is how the mom in this movie is crazy. So she has been hiding her daughter from her dad her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Oh, because he hurt me. It's not like he's a friggin' pedo. She's gonna take her daughter away from her dad just because, oh, he wasn't, like, nice to me.
I mean, I understand the concept to some degree, because the point is that she knew Colin Firth, and they were obviously dating or whatever. They got married in, like, some Sahara desert. And
Morocco, because I looked it up. They actually went to Morocco to film those scenes.
Are you kidding
me? They must have had a lot of money. Imagine going to Morocco to film a five-minute scene.
Not even a five. Like, it's literally, like, yeah, I guess you're right, 5 minutes. Like, some stupid scene that you could literally just film in, like...
Like, you could just make it, like, make sand in, like, a studio.
Make sand.
I don't know, just, like, fill a room with sand.
Film it in a sandbox. Who cares?
Yeah, man.
Like, flying all those people over must have been very expensive.
I know. They must have had money to spend.
No kidding. Anyway, so...
Okay, so defend Kelly Preston for not allowing her daughter
to
meet
her dad. So Kelly Preston
dad.
And Colin Firth, I don't know. I'm not defending that part. But Kelly Preston and Colin Firth are together. They have a baby. He does not know it. And
but Amanda Bynes has known her whole life who he is.
Yes. But in Kelly's mind, now this is the whole point, is that neither Kelly nor Colin Firth are aware that someone else wrote a letter to each of them saying that the other one was leaving.
Right.
Pretending to be them.
Because why would you have follow-up phone call after that letter?
So in her mind, in Colin Firth's mind, she left him. And in her mind, he told her to leave from these letters, from these anonymous letters or whatever the fuck. So I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand the concept of her being hurt because she literally was like kicked out of England basically from this man who was like, I'm on to bigger and better things. And then she finds out she's pregnant and then she's like, well, I'm not going to tell this dude.
Why not?
I don't know.
This is like Parent Trap again. It's just like you don't realize until you really think about it. Like, these parents are brutal.
But also maybe she did tell him. Ow. Maybe she did tell him, because remember the old guy says, I knew that as soon as she was pregnant. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
No, Amanda Bynes says, Mom, why can't I meet Dad? And then she says, I don't want you to get hurt the way he hurt me.
Yes, but then that guy, so maybe when she was young, when Amanda Bynes was like a baby or like in the womb, Kelly Preston tried to write to...
Why is everyone writing? This is not like the
1840. I don't know. Maybe she called and that old man was the only one who picked up and he kept saying, he doesn't want Jay. And he knew she was pregnant and didn't tell him.
I think she's nuts and she's holding a grudge.
That guy could have answered the phone and been like, he told you to fuck off.
Still!
But then obviously he was like, he said he's going to call the police if you don't fuck off, all right?
Oh my gosh.
And then meanwhile he's telling Colin Firth like, she's not, you know, boo boo boo. I haven't slept in a week.
Okay, well, whatever. Your defense of her is weak.
You're weak.
You would lose in the court of law.
I'm not in the court of law. I'm in the court of teenagedom.
Okay.
It's past my bedtime, man. It's 9:05.
It's past my bedtime. Everybody wants to be loved
like a helpless child.
This is just a random note.
Can't wait.
That like won't be really interesting to people listening, but we should post a picture.
Great.
We should post a picture on Instagram that, like, you know when Amanda Bynes first gets to that little hotel that Oliver James is working at?
Yes.
And then she's looking at the TV and Colin Firth is on the news? Mm-hmm. The newscasters are using a microphone that is insane.
Why?
It is so big. You have to look at it. It is the biggest microphone. It's like a boom mic. And it's crazy.
Oh my God. That there's so much. There's so much of this movie that, like, I thought you were going to say this about the newscaster, because so Amanda Bynes goes to England. She, like, jumps on a fucking plane with no issue at all. But anyway.
Why would there be an issue?
I'm sorry. Can you afford at 30? Can you afford a plane ride to London? Because I certainly can't.
No, but I have a visa.
Okay, fair enough. Well, anyway, she probably doesn't because she's 15. But anyway.
She's 17.
Oh. Anyway, point is, her mom also does not react. Like, if I did that, honestly, for just 1 second, if I got on a plane and went to London and wrote a letter to my mother, there is, first of all, it would not.
What is up with all the letters?
I know. But first of all, I would not have gotten as far as the fucking airport before she figured it out and caught up to me. There's no chance. But also, let's pretend I got on the airplane and flew over. In 35 seconds, my mother would be directly behind me. She wouldn't just, like, wait for me to call in 3 days.
I know.
There's no way. But anyway.
I know.
So she goes to England. She's like, I gotta find my father. So she goes and she ends up at some fucking hostel. And also, it's a really nice hostel. At 17, if I was left my own devices, I think I would have ended up on the street. Like, I would not I'm not as well versed as this. Maybe she's from New York, so she, like, knows more about travel. I don't fucking know. But anyway, it's just not something I would have been able to do well at 17.
That's interesting.
I just wouldn't be able to find a night. I would have either just been like, I'll just live in someone's house, or I'm going to buy a Four Seasons hotel because I don't know the difference.
So I went to London when I was 19. As I said, and the first chunk I was with my classmates, and then there was a chunk I was with my my Nana's siblings, which was really interesting, but there was a small chunk of about 3 or 4 days where I had nowhere to go. Mm. So I went to a hostel, but there were protests going on in the park, and all the protesters were camping. And I was really, really close to approaching these hippies and being like, can I crash in your tent for a couple nights?
You should have.
Can you imagine?
I would have loved it.
Little 19-year-old me just sleeping beside a hippie?
Yes.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
That's true.
It's not a problem. Not a problem at all. We actually, when we moved to London, I don't know. I've told this story 1,000 times. I moved to London with my three of my best friends. I do not know how I thought it was okay to just move to England without a job or a place to live. Like, we literally got on the plane and I was like, I'll figure it out when I land.
That's what I did with New York. It's the beauty of it.
Oh, God. It's just not a thing that I would ever do. But anyway, clearly I did. And so for the first month, we lived out of a hostel because we did find a place.
Mm-hmm. That's expensive.
Oh, fuck. It wasn't that bad.
Really? Well, I guess, like, in Europe, hostels aren't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But it was also like one of those things where we had a place, but they were renovating it or some shit, and it was only available a month after we got there. I mean, it took a while for us to find it, but they were like, okay, you have to, like, 3 more weeks or something like that. So we stayed in this hostel, and we lived in this hostel for a month. And
wow.
It was, by the end of it, I wanted to die. It was actually a great hostel.
Did you guys get just 4 people to a room? Or
no.
Was it full?
Oh, God, it was like a 12-person room. We got new friends. I still have some of these people on Facebook.
Wow.
Because we were like the friggin' regulars, because we were there for a month. And we just, like, lived in this hostel, but there's only so long you can live out of a bag.
I don't love bunk beds.
I don't care about the bunk beds, but, like, we also, it got to the point where we also had to switch rooms so often.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, that's so annoying.
It was just our stuff. We had 2 huge bags each.
Yeah.
We were moving to London.
Yeah.
And so we would just, like, have it in the basement, and we didn't even tie it up because we're like, no, if someone steals this, good luck to them. Like,
yeah.
It's huge. Anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, the hostel that she rents. She's like, oh, like when she steps outside of it.
Yeah.
And also, she jumps off of the bus.
I know.
Both times.
Twice.
Yeah. I didn't even really notice. And Mike was, you can't just jump off a bus.
A moving bus.
So there was a lot of issue I had with this. Because first of all, she arrives in London. And the first shot of her in London is her on a double-decker tour bus.
Yeah.
It's a tour bus.
Yeah.
And it's a tour bus because it's an open roof.
Right.
So that's 100% a tour bus.
Yeah.
And she's just on the top, you know, the roof at the top. And then she goes down and just jumps off of it. Like, literally, while it's still driving. In all literal sense, she jumps off a moving bus. Because there's the hop off. There's literally a hop off, hop on, hop off tour bus in London, which is literally called that.
Yeah. But, so is everywhere.
Right. But you don't just like land in London, go on a tour bus to get to your destination. You go for a tour.
Yes.
She uses it as a transport bus.
Yes. I mean,
those tours are expensive.
To be fair, to be fair, in New York City, I bought a ticket to a hop on, hop off bus that lasted 24 hours.
Right. And you used it. Did you do it before you even got to your hostel? And that's how you got to your hostel? With all your bags?
No.
Okay.
However, I did use it to get places.
Of course. No, that's fair. But you didn't use it. You didn't land in New York with all of your bags and say, I'm going to go on this tour.
You don't know how long she's been landed there for.
She doesn't even have a hostel yet. She literally gets off of it. Oh, my God.
You don't know.
I do know because she walks into the hostel. Ah! Okay.
Maybe she was on. in a separate hostel.
I'm getting heated.
Okay. Well, I understand your point of view about her jumping off a moving vehicle. That's not something that happens.
Okay. My next point is that Michael thought that Oliver James was Taylor Lautner.
Oh. I'm a little offended by that, actually, because I think Oliver James trumps Lautner.
I do agree. However, as soon as he said that, I went, oh.
They do have similarities, for sure.
They definitely do. I'll do a comparison in the post. Because they do. There's something about, like, he has a baby face a little bit, just at the beginning. Like, he's got a little bit of a...
Oliver James, I mean, he's British.
He can sing.
I mean, he's such a babe in this movie. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's... there's him. I'm so upset that the only, at least to my immediate knowledge, movies that... were of the teen era that he was in was this and Raise Your Voice.
I know. What happened
like,
to
he
him?
Should have been in 4,000 other things. Let's look it up right
apparently,
this fucking
now. Oh, no, I looked it up. Apparently, he just wanted to pursue music.
That's fine. That's fair. But, he should have been in at least a movie with Mandy Moore. He was never in with Mandy Moore. Think of the possibilities.
I can't even.
And Lindsay? He had a Hilary Duff and a Amanda Bynes, which are two fantastic queens, of course. Yeah. Two of our top, if I may say so.
Absolutely.
But there's, I mean, maybe Mandy Moore's a little, no, I don't think she's too old for that.
Who?
Mandy Moore.
She might be.
Pardon me, have you heard of her? Who?
I think Mandy Moore's a little bit too old. But Lindsay, where was that movie?
Yeah, that could have been Just My Luck.
Screw Chris Pine.
Yeah, screw that guy. He got his success later.
I like him.
I just think that we missed out on some opportunities. That's all.
Oliver, why did you have to go pursue music?
Why did you have to go? Like, there's just so many opportunities. Who's another teen queen that could have been in that? Like, he could have been.
The possibilities are endless.
So endless. Like, he could have done, Melissa Joan Hart.
He could have been with one with Raven Simone.
That would have been insane.
Why? Why, Maddie?
That would have been fucking
insane.
Are you
against interracial movies?
No, there's something. I think that my problem with that is that Raven Simone to me is... That's so Raven.
Is it because she's a lesbian?
No, I'm saying that she's... Her acting is, to me, that movie and Cheetah Girls. And it's very over the top. It's not the same as our classic Amanda Bynes, Hilary Duff. Not over the top, subtle actors.
All right, whatever.
Ow, my foot is so fucking cramped. Holy shit. Oh my God, it's the worst cramp of my foot. Oh my God. Oh, that was horrible.
So I just wanted to point out, because there was a quick shot, just a quickie. Oh, not a quickie, actually. It's when Oliver James comes to the home that Colin Firth lives in.
Yes.
The mansion.
The fucking Royal Palace, yeah.
The Royal Palace. And an English Bobby comes over and says, "Do you have an appointment?" And then he's like, "No, I'm just here to see." "No, do you have an appointment?" And I was suddenly struck by a memory that when I was about 4, I was an English Bobby for Halloween.
What? Do you have a picture of this?
Yes.
Oh, Christ
Absolutely
almighty.
Which obviously was not my idea. So, mom and dad, I mean.
That's, honestly, right now, cannot wait to have children. Because I'm going to make them dress up as, the most random things when they're younger. Like, you're going to be a potato today.
You're going to be a potato. That'd actually be so cute if you got found a baked potato costume. Or like a That'd nugget. Really,
yeah, a nugget.
Like a chicken nugget?
Yeah, I got it. Thank you for explaining what a nugget is. I have something. Can we move to the peach and pears coming out
no,
party?
No, not yet. Oh, okay. I just wanted to make a quick point that Amanda Bynes, she makes her her way to...
It is freezing in this basement right now. Holy shit.
Got the AC on?
No.
Amanda Bynes, she decides that she's going to climb over the fence to approach her dad instead of just like buzzing the buzzer instead, which I understand because she probably would have just been rejected.
I guess, but she could have. I mean, I think getting rejected and being like asked to leave is a little better than getting like arrested.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you can't just climb over.
First of all,
freaking
you can't just
fence.
Do it. Like, a human just can't.
Yeah,
just
I don't
do
know
it.
How she did it.
And then, especially a teen girl who's like never moved a muscle in her. Like, she works. Yeah. She lives in New York. Like, you know.
And that property should have cameras. But anyway.
100%. And then when Clarissa's like, an impossibly large bird just fell from the wall. Like, whatever. It's like, what, are you stupid? Yeah.
What kind of bird?
It's literally a 140-pound bird just flew off or whatever, however much
it
she
would
weighs.
It would make more sense if she said, like, squirrel or something. But
it, that would be insane, too. She should have said a dog or something. A bird. Oh, an impossibly large bird. It's stupid. Just like a
whenever there's a pause, we have to do that.
I'm doing it already.
Did you know that this movie premiered on Amanda Bynes' 17th birthday?
I think I did know that.
No, you didn't.
I swear, I think I did because I used to... Can I tell you something? So one of my favorite things ever... So, you know, when pirating DVDs was like a thing.
Yeah.
Or like a real big thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would always, every Christmas, every birthday, every everything, what do you want? Movies. I want movies. I want movies. And then... my uncle or whatever would burn me DVDs and I was like, that's nice, but I want like the real thing, and I would want the real thing for the sole reason of having the behind the scenes so that I could watch the movie again with commentary.
Oh.
I fucking loved watching movies with commentary.
Me too.
And it was especially this one with Amanda Bynes.
I listened to it too
because I loved, like, I just love the, like, oh my god, when we recorded this scene, like, so I loved that.
I remember
that.
Thinking it was kind of funny because she was by herself.
Yeah,
she would be like anyway, like, yeah. She would just like laugh at her own
awkward
jokes.
Like, imagine that being, I don't think I would have to imagine movies and TV shows still don't still do that anymore.
I'm sure they do for like, yeah, there's nerds out there like us that love
well,
it.
Well, I guess so, but I think it's more of like a, maybe like a podcast scenario,
maybe.
But not like over laughed with the movie.
I don't know, probably on a Blu-ray.
Maybe. Anyway, so my point is I did know that because I would watch the commentary. Anything that Amanda Bynes was in, I would watch the commentary of her doing it.
Who, like, truthfully, Amanda Bynes was, like, probably my biggest obsession.
Me too.
Like, more than Hillary.
Oh, at the time, yeah, for sure. I used to say, like, first of all, I wanted to be an actress, which I have no memory of wanting that. But when I look at all my old diaries, that's all I talk about. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? But anyway, I do remember one thing saying, you know, those, like, MySpace quizzes and forms that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And it would be like, do you ever want to be famous? And I, every time, said, I want to be famous like Amanda Bynes. Because I wanted people to know who I was. I wanted people to know my name and recognize me, but not know who I was dating or much of my backstory.
Right.
I loved that. And then a couple years ago, she had a bit of a spiral.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that backfired.
I was truly so sad when
I
learned that
devastated.
She... I mean, didn't we watch the interview together?
I think we did.
Of her recently?
I still love.
I know. I'm
Amanda
pretty heartbroken
Bynes.
About what's going on. I've heard
I hope
rumors.
She's good.
I've heard rumors that she like got pretty heavy into drugs and stuff, and that's what kind of triggered.
I don't think that's a rumor. I think that's in an interview she did.
Yeah, maybe. And that's what triggered her various, like, I think bipolar or something, or schizophrenia. But man, we watched that interview of her. Like, it was a recent interview, and she was so.
It was rough.
Sadly different and a little out of it seeming, and you could tell she was like medicated.
I remember when the whole, like, you know, because basically, for anyone who doesn't know, she was this amazing teen queen.
Then
I don't know how many years ago, 10 years ago, less
it
than
was,
just
okay
under?
So it, I know because she, yeah, you're right, she did come up with that interview. She said it was during the filming of Hairspray
yeah
that
right.
She started to become really insecure and started taking pills. And then it wasn't until she was at the premiere of Easy A where she was like, I hate the way I look.
Right.
And that's what started a lot of shit.
So there was a bit of a mental breakdown where
she,
like
let her dog on fire.
Did she really?
Yeah. So there's like something about her dog on her driveway, and she like
Oh my God. I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that. But there was all the Twitter stuff where she said some really weird things on Twitter and always be like, she would like tweet Barack Obama and like all these weird things.
Classic
but,
one.
Though, yeah. Well, there's the classic Drake one. She says, murder my vagina. And like, just a lot of really, and she posted all these pictures. She had pierced her cheeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were all these, it was just, it was, oh, like I honestly, I would look at those pictures of her and I couldn't.
Fathom.
I couldn't envision it at all. No. Like I couldn't get that that was the same person. Because not only was Amanda so amazing in, and I understand the celebrity life in terms of like sometimes, of course, you're not showing, it's an iceberg, right? Like you're only showing so much of yourself. Yeah. You might be having a lot of issues that you're not portraying in the media. Yeah.
Oh, I never heard that before.
You know, like an iceberg, like you only show 10%, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But she was in such like the Amanda Show. The freaking Amanda Show.
The Amanda Show. Remember my favorite.
Amanda Show.
Remember
so good.
My favorite line? I'm going to hit you over the head with a cappuccino machine.
Like, so good. And then she's in freaking Love Wrecked. And she's in freaking What a Girl Wants. She's
okay,
in
Love
so
Wrecked
many things.
Was so shitty.
Well, I'm not saying it was a classic, but like, I mean, I was.
Can we just quickly rank her films? Quickly.
Okay. Well, what are the ones we're going to do?
Like the ones that.
Okay, so there's What a Girl Wants. Are we counting Love Wrecked?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's Easy A Hairspray.
She's the Man.
She's the Man. Oh my God, of course.
And then let's just put in
Sydney White.
What's that show called?
What I Like About You. What I Like About You. Right.
Let's put that in the mix. And then
Big Little Liar, never saw it.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about that one.
Or Big Liar, whatever it's called.
No, what is that?
Big Fat Liar.
Big Fat Liar. Big Little Liar. I was like, that seems like a show. Okay, let's just go right ahead and say She's the Man at number one. Do we agree on that? Really?
I mean, yeah, I think it's obviously incredible, but I fucking love What a Girl Wants. Okay, I'm going to say She's the Man's number one and a, like 1 millisecond percentage behind is What a Girl Wants.
Okay, then what would you say? Sydney White?
Well, no, I would say Easy A, but not necessarily because of her. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Though I don't think she does bad. Now, that being said, so in in university, just a quick side note about that movie. In university, my friend Nicole and my friend Jen and I, not the Jen, you know, different Jen, had to write we didn't have to, but we were in a class where we had to write and direct a play.
Uh-huh.
And we did one about Token. It was called Token. And it was about different stereotyped characters. Anyway, point is we had a Bible thumper. And that entire character was written...
it
was based on...
Like you, that was a character or an actual person in your group was a Bible.
No. Like there was a there was a character.
Oh, okay.
Everything was like, there was the token black character. There was the token Christian character. There was the token gay character.
Okay.
It was a comedy about stereotypes. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. Point is the Bible thumper character was based around Amanda Bynes' character in Easy A.
Oh, well.
That's a story.
I would have preferred, actually, if you had to base it off of Mandy Moore in Saved.
No, but it was supposed to be an angry person.
I mean, Mandy Moore is pretty angry and Saved.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, I don't know why I thought you said A Walk to Remember.
No.
Yeah, Saved. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. Sorry.
Yeah. And I would say that Love Wrecked or whatever is probably last.
I would say Sydney White is last.
Really?
Are you kidding?
You didn't like Sydney White?
No, I did not.
I mean, it's not great, but.
No, Love Wrecked is way better. So it goes, She's the Man's number one, Walk to Remember, What a Girl Wants, and then.
And then What I Like About You?
No.
No?
Oh, then Easy A. Then Easy A.
Okay, fine.
And then Hairspray.
Okay.
And then What I Like About You.
Okay.
And then, no, then Love Wrecked, then What I Like
About
You.
Pardon? You would rather watch Love Wrecked than What I Like About You?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
You're insane. I'm actually concerned for your health.
I think that there was something. I don't like sitcoms.
Ah.
Very much.
I love that show. Love Wrecked had the craziest premise.
Yeah. Hi. Fogel, hi!
Fogel!
Welcome to freaking Millennium Girl Movies.
All right, fine.
That's the entire point. It's a fucked up. It's so good.
Yeah.
Freaking Even Stevens movie.
I could go on and on about these generation of actors and actresses.
Hey, guess what? That's what this podcast is about!
Okay, at one point when, what's the stepsister's name?
Clarissa.
Clarissa. She goes up to,
It's when she goes... An impossibly large bird just got that wall.
Okay, but at one point, the mom says to her, put a cork in it. And then she says, maybe somebody should have put a cork in it 17 years ago. And I'm like, what does that actually mean?
Well, that's a good question.
I think she means that someone should have put a cork in their vagina so that there was no pregnancy.
I'm not sure if she means a coat hanger. I don't know if she means a condom.
Oh, maybe a cork means condom. But then she would have said, maybe someone should have put a cork on it.
I think she just means like a cork. Really?
She says cork in it.
Right. You just said cork on it.
But if it was a condom, she should have said, put a cork on it.
I think it's just an expression, isn't it? I don't think we have to really get into it.
I just didn't understand why you would say to somebody, maybe you should have put a cork in it 17 years ago.
I think it was just a figure of speech.
I just think it sounds more sexual. Like, if someone was like, put a cork in it, that sounds sexual to say.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do understand. You're saying the cork is the penis. You're putting a penis in it.
I just think it's a weird thing to say.
It is. You're right.
Anyway.
Can I tell you what my favorite... what my favorite line of this movie is?
I wrote down a few lines that I thought were funny, but go ahead.
This one, it's not even so much the line. It's one fucking shot. And there's a line, the action, the shot, everything about it. It's five... not even 5 seconds, and it makes me laugh so hard every single time. It's at Peach and Pear's thing. Can I tell you that story?
Sure.
So Peach and Pear are this two twin people, whatever, and they're having a coming out party or whatever, a debutante ball, whatever the fuck. And of course it's like the most boring thing on the planet. And Amanda Bynes is like being the friendliest little American girl, and she's like, come on, Oliver James, Ian Wallace, let's bump it up. Let's make this party happening or whatever.
Yeah.
And we should say that Oliver James, her like little boyfriend, conveniently is playing this party. But anyway.
Just like her mom does.
Just like her. I didn't even fucking realize that. That's amazing.
You idiot.
I know. I'm not a screenwriter. Anyway, so she's like, okay, like, let's like, go ahead. And so he goes up onto the stage and he's like about to like make the party go.
Yeah.
And there's this like, it's almost like a wide angle.
Okay.
It's almost just a wide angle shot just for a second.
It's almost a wide angle.
Like it looks weird. It's a bit goofy looking, and it's of Amanda Bynes, and there's apparently no technical people working here.
Okay.
And she runs up to this giant amp.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm cranking the bass. And just fucking cranks the bass. And it's, why is she doing it? Why is she announcing it? Because no one can hear you. It just makes me laugh so hard because she just like runs, and she like, but she does it. I wish I could show people like how I'm doing it, but let me just do it for you. She goes like, oh my God, it makes me laugh. So, first of all, why would you crank the bass? That makes it like fucking death.
Well, that's
drops.
Why the chandelier drops.
That's true. Anyway, it's, oh my God, it makes me laugh. It's,
that's funny.
The funniest fucking little thing. Oh man. Anyway.
When I was younger, I read a Cosmo article. You know how much I like Cosmo. Mm. On Amanda Bynes. And one of the questions in it was, who is your biggest on-set crush? And she said, do you know who she said?
Did you say Colin Firth?
Yeah.
I think I read this then.
She said Colin Firth. And it's funny because with that in my head, rewatching this movie, you can tell. Like, every scene that she was with Colin Firth, she has this look in her eyes. Like, she's just in love. Like, right. She's smitten.
Well, how old was he in this movie? When was it? 2003, I almost said. 2003?
Was that 2003?
Okay, he's born in 1960.
So the same age as my parents. Okay, so.
So he's 43 in this movie. And how old
and
is she?
And she's, it premiered on her 17th birthday.
To be fair, when I was in high school, I was in love with Johnny Depp and he was 43.
I don't blame her. He is hot. There's no doubt about that. Colin Firth is hot.
Oh, yeah. He's cute as heck.
There's no even question.
No question.
Okay, let's talk about, did you notice that at the fashion show that they had Harry and William lookalikes?
Yes, I did. Yes, I fucking did.
And did you notice when the guy, what's the guy's name who's the douchebag?
Oh, Christ, I have no idea.
Alistair or something?
Something stupid.
He looks at Amanda Bynes on the stage.
And he goes, who is that beautiful creature?
But then he goes, like
he like lips his fucking lips or something. Yeah. It's disgusting.
But then he says, she can dump tea in my haba anytime. And so I asked my parents, I was like, what does that mean? And they were like, oh, it's an expression because back in the day there was the Boston Tea Party that I guess spilt tea in the like river in London or something.
So what is his point?
Well, let's see. She can dump tea in my harbor anytime. So like,
why do you have to emphasize dump so much?
Pardon? Do I?
Yeah. You're like, you can dump.
You know how much I like the word dump.
Do I ever.
And it's almost as much as butt munch.
You are the person who taught me that word.
I didn't realize that it was a sexual thing. Like, when I say butt munch, I didn't realize that it's, it's like...
eating bum.
Yeah. So then I stopped saying it as much. Oh, but
that's too bad.
What's your next note? I have a few more here.
I'm kind of in the whole movie.
Well, like, I have like half a page left.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have a couple. You know me. I've got always like one third of the amount of notes that you do.
Yeah.
My next note is that Oliver James is me in England with 85 jobs. Because the whole joke of his character is that he has like every single job ever. Which is all the way. By the way, there's more than one musician in England.
Yeah. He's at every wedding.
He's at every single wedding. And I'm like, okay,
calm function,
down.
I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even her everything he's playing.
Well, he played at the Queen's garden party, so he must be making good money. Yeah. He's playing for the Queen.
Also, anyway. The Queen shows up at her coming out party. I'm like, pardon me?
Yeah.
The Queen just doesn't show up at every person's coming out party.
No, it was at the Queen's garden party, too.
Okay, well, anyway. He has, like, the this and that and the whatever. And in England, I was there for 2 years, and at any point, I had 3 jobs at all times.
I know, you were like Kirk from Gilmore Girls.
Literally. At over the time, I think I counted like 12 jobs or something over my whole time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's
all
my next
note. Tell us your top 3 favorite jobs that you had.
I was a Harry Potter tour guide.
Amazing.
That was my number one favorite one.
Yeah.
I was a photographer at a venue that was...
Like a concert venue? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's when I
that's
shot
sweet.
Tragically Hip and Yellow
yeah,
Card.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Chiverches and a bunch of other things. And the gym. I worked at a gym.
Right.
That was my other favorite one. I was a caterer for a bit. I was a personal assistant for a bit. Oh, my God. And I worked at the London Olympics. That was up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I met Caitlyn Jenner. And I also met motherfucking Prince Harry and Prince William.
Pardon?
Yeah.
You, like, talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
You said hello and they said hello back.
They did, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you love them?
Yeah. Oh, Prince Harry, yeah. And then I, like, called. I remember the day that we saw them. They came to our work and I said hello, and then I called home.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents did not answer. So I called my aunt, no answer. Called my grandma, no answer. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Because when I moved to England, the whole joke was like, oh, like, meet a prince, get married.
Yeah.
So I fucking met them and I'm calling, not one person answered.
Wow.
So I'm leaving messaging on their answering machine. I'm like, you assholes, I'm literally with Prince Harry right now and no one's answering.
Wow. When I was in England, there just so happened to be a parade. I don't know what it was for. Maybe Victoria Day weekend. But the Queen came down the street in a chariot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I was like, as if I'm just looking at the Queen right now. I climbed up onto some like light post thing, naturally, you know me. And I was staring. And then two guys with like machine guns came over to me and said, get down. And I was like, okay.
Got it.
Copy that.
On the way.
Oh, it was
I just had a smoker's laugh there. Holy shit.
I like that smoker's laugh. Okay, the scene where Colin Firth comes into the kitchen. It is absolutely pitch black. This kitchen, he flicks on the light. Amanda Bynes is sitting on the counter in the absolute pitch black drinking a cup of milk. Oh, what kind of psychopath drinks in the absolute pitch black?
It is it's not even like a dark kitchen. It's like midnight. There's not been a light on in centuries.
It is like a basement. It's like there's no windows and she's just sitting pleasantly in the dark.
On the counter?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And then she's like, oh, hey, Dad. Like, as if...
She calls him Mark or whatever his name is. What's Henry.
Mark. That's from Bridget Jones.
Oh, sorry.
He's so silly.
I loved when... So Amanda Bynes, they're at that, like, fucking... What is it when they're on a boat? Like, they have to get to... She's now dating Oliver James. They've now kissed. She goes to some party and Oliver James is working there as like the boat parker or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That place.
He's parking cars. But yeah. Like he's standing in a parking lot.
Okay, whatever. So that party that they go to and then she pushes the shithead guy in the water and then all the paparazzi jump up and everything.
Yeah.
And Colin Firth and Amanda Bynes decide that the thing to take off the attention is to... run.
Yeah.
Like they don't even like He doesn't even like do a casual like, oh, hello, everyone. Yeah, it was a mistake, whatever.
Yeah, he just tripped.
They fucking bolt, like running in the wind. Their dress and their blazer are flying behind them, bolting, and they run and jump on a motorcycle
and drive away. Flying to the streets.
And like wheelie style.
I know.
And I'm like, okay, like I can understand trying to avoid the press. That's not avoiding the press.
No, like.
That's making the situation 1,000
times
worse.
Can you imagine if Margaret Thatcher did that? Press would have a field day.
Yeah, they would have a fucking field day.
Just hops on a bike.
It's insane. And like they just drive away. And then when they drive back to the palace or wherever they're going, and there's paparazzi sitting outside, he fucking wheelies off again.
I know.
And I'm like, you're making this work. Like, at least just blame it on Amanda. And you're like, hey, my girl doesn't get it, whatever. But now you're making your... Oh my God. There's so
many
things.
They could have easily just been like, oh, Alistair, he tripped and fell in the water.
Oh, that's a good accent. You're good at that.
That's it.
Water.
In the water.
Anyway, it's insane. Like, it's the most insane. It's so great.
I like when someone says, holy poo on toast.
Yeah, who does that? It's Clarissa, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All these crazy sayings.
Yeah, she's really horrible. And she's also, I'm so sorry to whoever that girl is, but at least in this movie, maybe she's an award-winning actress now, I don't know. But in this movie, fuck.
I think she plays the role pretty well.
There's one scene in particular that I'm like, so it's a little bit back, it were backing up a little bit, where she's like, Amanda Bynes is putting on that dress and Clarissa's like, it's back off from Alistair or whatever her name is, his name is. And Amanda Bynes is like, you're Gucci.
Oh
and
my gosh.
I'm whatever.
No, let me just tell you, me and my friend Christy, I hope she listens to this. We used to say, all the time, the line is, you're designer and I'm vintage.
Yeah, so that stuff.
We when love she's saying that line.
It's a good one. But Clarissa's face while she's saying this to her is like, again, I can't do this for the people listening, but it's like, how? And then she like storms off and like swings her arms. And I'm like, okay, like calm down.
I also think it's so funny when they give her that hideous dress and then she holds up the scissors. As if, like, I'm going to make this dress beautiful. All she did was take off the top layer.
And make it into a cape.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another thing to say.
What scene is it?
I think it's the last, not the last scene, but, like, the last party, that queen party or whatever.
Well, I just wanted to talk a bit about just the adorable boat scene with Amanda and Oliver.
That was adorable?
I just... love that scene when he's teaching her how to do that little...
Yeah, but why don't you just do it on the ground?
Oh, it's so beautiful when they're in the boat and then they lie together after they fall in.
Her head looks broken. Her neck looks broken when they're laying there. She's like this.
I love it. And then what's his
famous
line?
She's the broken neck lady from Hilltop.
I love that scene. I wanted it.
You're... Deep. Why is it when you were born to stand out?
Okay, well, you skipped a few words.
I know. I don't remember the beginning.
Why are you trying so hard to fit in?
When you were born to stand out. And her neck is standing out, I'll tell you that much.
And then they make out.
Oh, crap. Well,
love it. I love it. Even as a 28-year-old, almost 29-year-old, that scene, I was like, man, I want to make out like that.
I don't know, man. There's a thing that she, like, literally.
I'm picturing you and Mike lying down in a canoe.
Michael would never say something like that to me, ever. Go ahead. Do you have another line? Another thing? Another note?
I just like that scene.
Okay, can I say my thing?
Yep.
I'm skipping over to the, like, so at this point, Oliver James is mad at her because she's changed, because she's trying to be more professional.
Because she forgot about the concert.
I don't even know what it was. But
the
anyway,
Strokes.
Sure.
Whatever.
So anyway, he's mad at her because she's changing. And she's like, I have to do this for my family. Oh, she's not British. I have to do this for my family or whatever. Anyway, so she goes to this Queen's Garden party or whatever the hell. And of course, lo and behold, Oliver James, Ian Wallace, is playing it because he's the one musician in the city.
Yeah.
And she goes up because like so-and-so's dancing with her and she's like pushing away trying to get to him or whatever. I don't remember. Anyway, she goes up to the stage where he's standing to talk to him and she's like, can I talk to you? And he's like, no, he says it's your party, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah,
it's not the Queen's Garden party.
This is a different scene, Madeline.
Okay, well, anyway, the scene I'm talking about, he says it's your party, you can do whatever you want, but he doesn't move. Like, he's still standing at the microphone and then they're having the conversation and he is on the microphone. It's on,
but it's not amplifying.
My point is why doesn't he move away and have a private fucking conversation away from a microphone?
I don't know.
That's all.
Okay.
Move on. All next right. thing.
Well, I'm at the part where, like, all the shit goes down. You
Go
know?
Ahead.
You know, the stepmom locks her in her room like a psycho. The mom appears and doesn't tell anyone she's coming because they're all surprised.
Yeah, it's a little insane.
A little insane.
And then she's like, the new wife or whatever is like, oh, let's find someone for Lubby or whatever.
Lubby. Oh, Lubby. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she calls her Lubby. Yeah. And then she's like, it's Lubby, actually. And why doesn't she? And Amanda Bynes is saying that. She goes, it's Lubby, actually. And why doesn't he just ask her himself, saying that Colin Firth should ask her mother to dance?
Yeah.
And then he fucking does it.
I know, it's rude.
And I'm like, dude, that's your fiance.
I know.
Like, I understand that she's a horrible, horrible bitch, and this is the person you're actually in love with, and this is your daughter, but you do it a little bit more classy than that, and you say, like, okay, like, I'll talk to her later, ha, 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 or, like, let's dance as friends, and let's catch up. But he literally is like, okay.
I know.
And, like, saunters toward her and takes her dancing, and I'm like, I mean, I don't agree with Libby, but, like, poor Libby. Or not Libby, whatever the...
I know, the fiance.
Yeah, the British fiance. Like, I poor know. Lady.
I know. And, like, imagine not seeing your ex for, like, 17 years and then all of a sudden you're slow dancing
or speaking at all or anything.
So strange.
Yeah, very weird.
Just like a helpless child. At one point someone says, I don't give a flying fart in space.
Colin Firth says that.
Does he?
Yes, because it made me, I was like, pardon.
Why is he saying
his
that?
His character would never fucking say that. It was
I don't
it's about the grandpa or whatever that is. The grandpa, like, assistant man. He says something. He's like, this isn't good. And he's like, I don't give a flying fart in face or something. And you're like, you would never say that.
Quick side note, that man, I think his name is Jonathan Pryce that plays the...
Is he Vincent Price's
Oh,
relative?
Maybe his name is Vincent Price.
No, Vincent Price is like...
Old?
Is dead.
Oh. Oh, wait, and I wrote
Vincent
it down.
Price, Vincent Price is also like the king of... like weird.
Okay, well, Jonathan Pryce, anyway, I recently watched him in the movie The Wife with Glenn Close. He was absolutely phenomenal.
There are a lot of award-winning actors in this movie.
Well, yeah, you're right, there's at least three.
Who's the third?
Eileen Atkins.
I don't know who that is.
She's like the grandma.
Oh,
she's so cute.
She's fantastic.
But you know what, I kind of feel bad
for her. Old bat doesn't know where her gloves are or whatever.
I feel bad for her. You know why?
Tell me.
Because I guarantee that she has lost every role she's ever auditioned for to Maggie Smith.
Or Judi Dench.
No. Maggie Smith and Eileen Atkins have the exact same vibe.
Yeah.
And Maggie Smith is just a little bit better.
She is. But she's also a little bit closer to the end, I think. Of her
life. We'll have to see the age difference.
I hope not. I fucking love Maggie Smith, man.
Oh, my God.
She is my damn... not teen queen. She's my lean,
senior
mean
queen.
Fighting machine. My scene queen.
Yeah, your scene queen.
She's fucking amazing. Hello? Fuck McGonagall. Screw that bitch. She's in goddamn Hook. She plays fucking Wendy in Hook.
She's Wendy?
Bitch, yes.
Wow.
Are you kidding?
I'm not joking.
Should we do a special episode where we do Hook? Because I fucking love that movie.
I know. I do want to rewatch it.
Well, I think we should anyway.
All right.
But if anyone's actually interested in that, let us know.
Let us know.
Okay, go on.
I mean...
Maggie Smith is fucking Wendy. Go ahead.
That's amazing. My mom's named after Wendy from Peter Pan.
Well, I'm very happy about that.
Me too. I just wanted to do a shout out to the screenwriters.
Yeah, shout out.
Jenny. Oh, God.
I hope you keep this part in. Right now, Carly has to refer back to her fact sheet because she forgets her names.
Jenny and Elizabeth. I just wanted to shout out to you because in a lot of these types of teen movies, it really feels like people that are writing it don't really care.
Your dog is farting right now because I can smell it from a mile away.
It is ripe. and I just really feel like they cared about the script. There were so many moments in this movie, even as a 28-year-old, where I was like, that is a great scene, or that was a great line, or like that was a great moment. And I just was like, you know, if more people cared about the things they were writing, we would have great, great movies out there.
That's very accurate.
And also, Maddie, when everything goes cray cray at the party and they burst, or not, they don't burst, but they run away upset.
Yep.
A song starts to play by Duncan Sheik called Half Life. Mm-hmm. Can you picture it in your head?
Well, not at the moment. Okay, go, the first goes, note.
Baby, I remember seeing the daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking down. I can't tell you the obsession I had with that song. I listened to it on repeat.
On a motherfucking repeat.
Because you know how much I love, like, slow songs.
Do I fucking ever.
That was kind of my last note. I just love that Duncan Sheik.
I have one last note.
Talk to me.
So they storm off. They go back to America or whatever. And they're at a wedding, of course. And What's-Her-Face is singing and What's-Her-Face is serving.
Yep.
And then Colin Firth shows up.
On a boat.
How did he know?
You know what? He has a lot of
connections. Stuff. Fine. How did he know the exact time? How did he know when the father-daughter dance would start? How did he know where the boat was going? How did he know he would need a boat? How would he know? Mm. And how is Oliver James not visible? Did he come from a boat?
That's true.
Is he lying in the boat?
He was lying down.
Like, where did he come from?
He must have been lying down.
Because Colin Firth jumps out and he goes, okay, I'm going to, like, hi, I'm here. Surprise. Boop, boop, boop. And then he asks her to dance at his father, at her father to dance. And woo, 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 circle back. This is the biggest thing of her life.
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo. And then he goes, I've also bought you a big present or whatever. And it's Oliver James. But he came on a boat, like a little tiny rowboat.
Yeah.
By himself. Where did Oliver James come from?
He must have been lying down.
He must have been lying down. Yeah. Or he swam.
He swam.
Anyway, that was my last note.
That's a good note. That's a good point, actually.
The end. Fashion fave. I have one already.
What is it?
Amanda Bynes' teen bangs.
Oh.
The, like, two strands.
Oh, I love her layered hair.
No, it's not even layers. That's fine.
Okay.
It's like in our
picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two strands on either side to frame your face while your hair is up. Like, such a teen millennium thing.
That's so true. Good. I loved so many outfits, to be honest. I loved her. She had a motorcycle t-shirt that she wore a couple times in the movie. I like her green shirt at the very end scene when they're all having dinner. And I liked her, like, tank top that was, like, army green. Mm. Like, these are all outfits that I wanted when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Colin Firth's leather pants. Mm-hmm. I liked Oliver James, like, when she first meets him at the hotel and he's wearing that red shirt with a shirt underneath.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I was all about the fashion in this.
Oh, fuck yeah, bruh. Six.
Go Leo. Six. Go Leo. Okay, we've got Colin Hanks. I mean, nope, not Colin Hanks. Colin Firth. He was in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy with, what's his face?
Gary Oldman.
You know, Gary Oldman. And Gary Oldman was in Gangs of New York with Leo.
Gary Oldman's in Gangs of New York.
Wasn't he?
No.
What's the movie he's in?
Not Gangs of New York.
Are you sure? Maddie?
Yes. That's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, I mixed them up. No! What am I going to do?
Embarrassing. I can do it for you. I can fucking do it for you. I'm going to kick your mother.
Oh, no. Oh, no, what's happening to me?
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of Maggie Smith.
Oh, what am I gonna
do?
Okay,
who in this movie is in Harry Potter? Is there anyone in Harry Potter here?
No. Okay, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy with Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman's got to be in a Leo movie.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Shit.
Okay, but I can go faster. So in Gangs of New York, Mad-Eye Moody is in Gangs of New York.
Okay.
Make that connection.
Okay, so here we go. Colin Firth is in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy with Gary Oldman.
There you go.
Gary Oldman is in Harry Potter.
With Mad-Eye Moody,
With Mad-Eye Moody.
His name is something Gleason. Brendan Gleason.
And then he's in Gangs of New York with Leo.
Fuck, that was rough.
Wow, that's embarrassing. Woof. I do get Gary Oldman and Daniel Day-Lewis mixed up.
Your girlfriend. Woof.
Shit, man.
How would you rate this movie?
Oh.
I already know mine, but I want you to go first.
Oh, man. I just thought this was an absolute treat.
Mm.
I'm going to go with an 8.5.
Nice.
What about you?
I'm going to say something a little controversial.
What? Are you going to give 10?
A motherfucking 10 out of 10.
Are you really?
Yeah. I could honestly watch this movie every day of my life.
I know. I'm almost sad that this episode's coming to an end.
I could watch this movie every fucking day. That being said, 10 out of 10 does not mean that everyone should watch it, because if you haven't seen it and you weren't a teen girl when you watched it, it's not going to hold up.
It holds up.
I don't know. First time viewers.
No, I'm serious. Colin Firth is what makes it hold up.
I don't know. My point is that I could not be happier. Thank you so much to Eric and Kevin Smale for the wonderful theme songs and music that you have supplied us. And thank you to Lemon Smale for being there for little Carly and making her happy. And thank you to Harvey Hallis.
Lemony Snicket.
For being there for us and being a little brat, but we love you anyway. And thank you so much to you guys for listening.
And we're going to end this episode with a little Oliver James ditty. Ready?
Yeah.
Everybody wants sweet love every once in a while. And you need somebody to hold on to. Just like a helpless child.
Pretty much.
All
right. Bye.
Bye.